Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. After God had rejected Saul from being king over Israel, he sent Samuel to the house of Jesse, a Bethlehemite, to find and to anoint Saul's successor. In 1 Samuel 16, the Lord said unto Samuel, how long do you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him? Fill thine horn with oil and go unto the house of Jesse. When Samuel arrived at Jesse's house, Jesse brought his sons before him. He brought 7 of his sons before Samuel. But each time God's word came to Samuel that this was not the man who was to replace Saul and be king over Israel. The word came, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Samuel then had to ask Jesse if he had any other sons. And the response came from Jesse. And I quote from 1 Samuel 16, there remaineth yet the youngest. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. David, as a boy and as a young man, and we believe he was only around 17 years of age when he was brought before Samuel and he was anointed to be king over Israel. As a boy and a young man, he was a shepherd. And as such, David learned many spiritual lessons from his time keeping his father's sheep. At some later point in his life, and under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he would write those spiritual lessons down in what has become the most well-known, the most famous psalm of all, Psalm 23. You see, when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, he was teaching us, he was reminding us that there are spiritual lessons, lessons for your soul, lessons about your relationship with God that can be learned from the ancient shepherd who would guide and watch over and care for the sheep. We learn lessons about the sinner. The sinner's like the sheep. Weak and wayward, lost and in great danger from the prey. We learn lessons about the Savior. He is like the shepherd, the one who cares for, the one who has compassion for the sheep of his pasture and for the sheep of his flock. It was just a few days ago that I was contemplating and meditating on this psalm afresh whenever a little phrase within it struck me. And maybe from the singing of the hymns you can guess what that phrase is. But it relates to Christ the shepherd in his ministry for his sheep. And that little phrase that I want to set before you this morning, it's mentioned twice in this psalm. It's mentioned in verse 2 and it's mentioned in verse 3. And it's just three words. Three words that I want to take for my text this morning that speak about Christ's work for his sheep. Those three words are this: he leadeth me. He, that is the shepherd, leadeth me, one of the sheep. And there are a number of truths, three truths that I want to set before you as we consider that little phrase. Christ's work for his sheep. He leadeth me. It's one aspect of it. And as you consider that little statement, it teaches me firstly that Christ is sovereign over the sheep. He is sovereign over the sheep. By that I mean that Christ is in control. Christ is in charge. He makes the decisions and the sheep follow him. The sheep don't influence the shepherd. They don't reason with the shepherd. They simply follow the shepherd. The shepherd is in control. The shepherd is in charge. He makes the decisions and the sheep follow. He leadeth me. In John chapter 10, verses 2 to 4, we read of this aspect of our relationship. And the chief shepherd, the one who is the good shepherd, and the chief shepherd, and the great shepherd. And John 10 verse 2 tells us, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. There's the idea, there's the thought, there's the theme of Christ, the good and the great and the chief shepherd, leading his sheep. Verse 4 says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And in those verses, you will notice that the shepherd speaks to the sheep. He calls them, and they respond. He speaks, they don't question it, they respond. He calls them and they follow. And then we're told that he chooses when they go out of the fold. The porter opens the fold to him. He goes in, he calls them by their name. They follow him. He chooses when they leave the fold and when they go out to pasture. The choice is his. And then it tells us that he leadeth them out. And when he putteth his own sheep, he goeth before them and they follow him. He chooses where the sheep come to pasture. And the point I'm making is this, that it is the shepherd who is in charge. The shepherd is in control. The shepherd is doing the leading and the guiding. He is making the decisions. And child of God, the spiritual lesson for you is this. When you become a Christian, and many of us here are saved already, when you became a Christian, your life was no longer your own. You are not in charge. You are not, as it were, making the decisions. You are not in the driving seat, to use a modern analogy. You are not the shepherd. If you were in charge, you would go astray just like the sheep. No, the Bible states your life is not your own. The Lord is master, sovereign, and Lord of his people. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 and 20 tells us, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. When you were converted, you became a child of God. You became one of the sheep of his pasture and his flock. Therefore, you belong to Jesus Christ. He purchased you with his own blood. He had to pay the greatest price that anyone could ever pay to purchase you and redeem you and buy you unto himself to bring you into his fold. And therefore you belong to him. And therefore you are to glorify him in your body. You are to follow him. You are to obey him. You are to give yourself entirely unto him. You are to submit yourself to him. He is the shepherd. He chooses out the path. He chooses the place of pasture. He chooses when you go out and when you come in, when you lie down and when you rise up. He is your shepherd. He does the leading. The Bible tells us that as Lord and Master, as shepherd of our lives, as the great shepherd and the chief shepherd, it speaks about the Lord directing us. Proverbs 3:6, He shall direct thy paths. The Lord directs the paths and the lives of His people. Furthermore, the Bible speaks about Him commanding His people. In Matthew 11:1, we read, when He had finished commanding His 12 disciples, He not only directs us in the path that we should take, He commands us in how we should live and how we should serve Him and how we should follow Him. He's the one that directs. He's the one that commands. The Bible also speaks about Him sending us forth, John 20:21. So Jesus said, so send I you. He is the one who does the sending forth for His people and His sheep to serve Him. Now let me ask you a question this morning, child of God. Let me ask you three questions in relation to the fact that the shepherd is sovereign over the sheep. Have you acknowledged His sovereignty in your life? Can you say with Thomas, after he doubted the Lord's resurrection and the Lord showed him His hands and His feet, he said, my Lord and my God. In other words, you are my Master. You are my God. I am a subject of thine, and you are in control over my life. My Lord and my God, can you sing with an honest heart, King of my life, I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Have you acknowledged His sovereignty over your life? Let me ask you secondly, have you prayed over His sovereignty? In Psalm 27:11, David prayed, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path. And there is just one example of a child of God praying that the Lord would lead him in the plain path. And it's coming from a heart that acknowledges, where the Lord leads me, I will go. What He says, I will do. Have you prayed, Lord, lead me? We sang that lovely hymn of Horatius Bonner's, thy way, not mine, O Lord, however dark it be. O lead me by thine own right hand, choose out the path for me. I dare not choose my lot. I would not if I might, but choose thou for me, O my God, so shall I walk aright. Have you committed your life in prayer to the leading and the guiding and the directing and the commanding of the Lord? Have you acknowledged His sovereignty over your life? Have you prayed over His sovereignty in your life? And thirdly, have you experienced His sovereignty in your life? Can you say with Abraham's servant in Genesis 24:27, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Have you experienced, and are you experiencing, the leading and guiding and directing of the Lord, so you know that you are in the right place with the Lord and for the Lord to worship and serve Him, and the Lord is leading you in your service? Can you say, I, being in the way, the Lord led me? Or you're like the lost and wayward sheep, out on its own, struggling and in great danger from the prey. He leadeth me. The first lesson is this. He is sovereign over the sheep. He is sovereign over your life. And you should submit your life to Him. The second thing I want to say this morning from that little statement, He leadeth me. He is not only sovereign over the sheep, He is present with the sheep.
When David said, "He leadeth me," he was intimating that the Lord was always present with him. I have told you before, I was brought up in the town, and my first experience with farming was when my parents moved to the countryside. I was about almost 16 years of age, and I think I've told you before that the man that owned the fields around my parents' house, he was an old man. And one Friday night, he was gathering the hay and the bales of hay, and my father decided that as I was doing nothing, that I could go out and help him. And it was my first experience of working with a farmer. And after that night, I would have been happy if it was my last experience. That's no offense to farmers. It just didn't sit well with me. I was the wee one, so I got put up into the top of the wee barn, and they were throwing everything up to me, and I think it took about 3 days to get the dust of the hay out of my clothing and get it washed out. At that time, I had a head of hair, and it took about 3 washes to get all the dust out, and it just didn't do anything for me, the farm. So what I know about farming, you could write maybe a postage stamp as an exaggeration, but certainly an A6 postcard, what I know about farming. But I do know this, that the modern form of farming and looking after sheep is very different to what it was in Bible times. Because I used to watch out my parents' window and see what happened to sheep. And the farmer just put the sheep in the field. It was a fenced field, and he left them there until they were ready to take away, and he brought the trailer, he put them in the trailer, and he took them away. And to me, I didn't really see him out too often among the sheep during the week. They were there in the field, safe and sound, and when he needed them, came and he got them, took them to wherever, whether it was the market or whatever else. But in Bible times, when the shepherd brought the sheep from the fold and he brought them to the mountains or the valleys, the shepherd led them and he went with them. And the shepherd was always with the sheep until he brought them back into the fold. And they would only be there for a little season until he led them out again. In other words, the shepherd was always present with the sheep. Remember when the Lord Jesus was born and there were shepherds on the hills of Judea? They were with the sheep, for they were watching over the sheep. They were with them. And the fact that the shepherd was always with the sheep reminds us and teaches us that the great and the good shepherd is always with his people in this present life. Didn't he say to his disciples, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age or the world"? Didn't he say in another place, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee"? The Lord Jesus, as the good shepherd, is always with his people. Do you know, folks, this psalm sets forth certain times in life when his presence is to be particularly noted and particularly considered. You will see in verse 3 that he is with us in times of waywardness. Look at verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." The soul needs restored when it is wayward. Oh, perhaps you are saved, and yet you've got away from the Lord. You've wandered off. You've wandered off into bypath meadow. You've wandered away from the flock and away from the shepherd. And you're in danger even from the enemy. Does the Lord abandon his people? Oh, David could say, as the shepherd, "He restoreth my soul." He would take the rod, or he would take the staff, and he would bring that wayward sheep back into the company and the fellowship of the other sheep and under the shepherd's care. And there are times whenever God's people can grow cold at heart. They can backslide. They can wander off. And you know, as you think about the flock, one of the marks of the backslider, one of the marks of someone being cold at heart, is they wander off from the fellowship of God's people. They cease to attend the place of worship. They cease to be among the flock of God on a regular basis. But if you're truly saved, let me tell you, the Lord doesn't abandon you. He doesn't desert you, but rather He'll take the rod and He might have to give you the poke or I don't know what you call it. You bring the rod down on the sheet to bring it back into the way. There's the discipline. There's the chastening. And sometimes the Lord has to chasten His people to bring them back into the way and into the fellowship of God's people and to be near unto Him. But the psalmist could say, in the times when I would wander from the fold astray, then He will draw me back into the way. He restoreth my soul and He leads me. And you will notice that it is the shepherd's will and the shepherd's desire for you to be walking and living in the paths of righteousness. He's the sanctifying shepherd. He leads you in the righteous paths. That is His will for you. And if you've got out of that way of holy living, of being near to Him, worshipping among the flock, listen, He hasn't abandoned you. But He may have to bring down the rod of discipline to bring you back into the way. He's with us, even in our times of waywardness. But you'll notice too, He's with us in our times of warfare. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. When the sheep came out of the fold, they were in the presence of enemies. There was the wolf, there was the bear, there was the lion lurking around, waiting and ready to devour. And child of God, as you live your life in this world, you are surrounded by spiritual enemies. Satan is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness. There is a world that is ungodly, that is pushing its ungodly, sinful, wicked agenda. And at times the child of God can be tempted by it. There is the old flesh within that would tempt us to sin and get away from the Lord. And as we're in this world, we're in the presence of enemies, and we're to enter into battle with them. We're to take upon us the whole armor of God, and we are to fight the good fight. We are to war a good warfare. And yet it tells us in verse 5 that thou, that is the shepherd, prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Even though our enemies are all around us, the Lord is with us. And greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. He's with us when we're attacked by the enemy. And just as the lion and the bear came and took the sheep and the lamb from David's flock, He went out and He slew the lion and He slew the bear. He's not only with us, but He will give us victory over our enemies in this present world. And if you are fighting a spiritual battle, if you know what it is at the minute to be under the cosh, as it were, in the battle, well then you be assured of this. The Lord is present with you, and He is able and willing to give you the victory over your enemies. He's with us in our waywardness to bring us back to Himself. He's with us in our times of warfare to support and sustain us in the battle. But He's with us also in our times of weakness. I'm thinking about the weakness of death. Look at verse 4. I was telling a friend last night, he's asking me what I was preaching this morning, and I said I was taking a little phrase from Psalm 23. He said, oh, a funeral sermon. And you know, Psalm 23 is so associated with funerals and with the time of death. And it is so because of verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Oh, there were times David took the sheep through what was known as the valley of the shadow of death. But it reminds us there is a valley we all must walk through one day. It is the valley of death. My friend, you will not escape it. Whether you are saint or sinner, whether you are saved or lost, one day you will walk the valley of the shadow of death. And I tell you, without Christ, it's a fearful thing. Without the Lord Jesus, it is a terrifying thought to face death and face God, our judge, in a state of sin. But David could say that he would not fear the valley of the shadow of death. That experience that we have because of our weakness and sin, he would not fear it. Why would he not fear it? For thou art with me. The Lord doesn't lead his people through life, bring them to the point of death, and then abandon them. And what a beautiful, wonderful reality every child of God can rest assured in. That when we come to the Jordan Valley of death, the Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, will be with us. I love the story, the part of the story. It's a very solemn story. I love that part of the story that Jesus told about the rich man and Lazarus. And how when the rich man died in a state of sin, it simply says, and that this is a solemn thought, it simply says, in hell, he lifted up his eyes. But when you read of Lazarus dying, you read that the angels came into Abram's bosom. The Lord sent his angels to gather his soul and to bring his soul to heaven. The Lord was with them, and he sent his angels to usher him into glory. But the man who died without Christ died alone, died abandoned. The Lord is with us in life, in our waywardness, in our warfare, and in our time of weakness when we come to face the valley of death. He will not abandon us. And he has taken the fear and the sting out of death. Hebrews 2 verse 14 and 15 tells us that he destroyed him that had the power of death, even the devil. And it tells us that the devil had kept man in fear. Him that had the fear of death, even the devil. But because Christ has conquered the devil for his people, he has taken the sting out of death. There is no situation in life or in death that the sheep of Christ face that they will be alone. He leadeth me. He is sovereign over the sheep. He is present with the sheep. But then thirdly and finally this morning, he leadeth me. Teaches me that he is gracious toward the sheep. He leads the sheep to certain places. That's what Psalm 23 is teaching. He leadeth me. And where does he lead his sheep to? Well, verse 2 tells us, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. In this life, he leads his sheep to the place where they will be provided for. The Lord is gracious in that he provides for his sheep exactly what they need. What does a sheep need in life? It needs pasture and it needs water. What does a believer need? What is the pasture for the soul? What do the green pastures speak about? What does a child of God feed not his body but his soul upon? The answer is found in Matthew 4 and 4. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, the physical bread, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What nourishes the sheep physically? The green pastures. What nourishes the sheep spiritually? The Word of God. And the Lord leads his people to where they will be fed on green pastures, on the finest of the pasture, as it were. And you'll notice when the sheep are fed good food, they are content. For it says, he maketh me to lie down. Now when the sheep are scared, when they're panicked, when they're fearful, if there's an enemy comes into the field, I have to confess my fault. I'm like Joseph this morning, confessing my fault. When I lived at home, we had a cross breed of a dog. It was a cross between a Staffordshire Bull Terrier and a Collie. And it wouldn't have done the sheep any harm. And the farmer, thankfully, the farmer knew that. And I can remember many times, it used to jump over the fence, used to find a way out of the car. It didn't matter how much concrete my father put in, how many posts he put in, that dog always found a way to get out of the backyard or garden. And many a time, I can remember learning my Hebrew in the front. I used to pace my mother's front room when I was learning my Hebrew words for Bible college. And I can remember seeing the dog out the window. And he was, what he loved to do, he loved to run through the field and roll in the manure and the muck and the slurry when the farmer had spread it. And you know, if he got anywhere near where the sheep were running, and they were running mad into the corner of the field or running out of the way. And the old dog wouldn't have done them any harm, but they were panicked. And they were running to get away from the dog that they perceived was a danger. And I had to get on me and go out and try and catch the dog and get him back in so the sheep wouldn't be worried. But the point I'm making is this. The sheep don't lie down whenever they perceive that there's a threat. The sheep lie down when they're content and when they're peaceful and restful. And when God's people are nourished and fed on good spiritual food, there's a spirit of contentment and peace that comes over the soul. The Lord wants your soul to be fed. And I believe he guides and he leads his people to a flock and to a congregation where they'll be fed the green pastures, not the old husks of the world or secularism or man's ideologies. But he provides what the sheep need. You let him lead you. I tell you, he leads you to the finest pasture. And may the Lord have in this place good spiritual food for the nourishment and building up of God's people. He's gracious. He gives us what we need in this life. But then I want you to notice he's gracious, not only in the provision that he gives, but in the prospect that he gives. Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The prospect, where is he leading us to? He leads us in this life to the finest pastures to feed our souls. But ultimately, he's leading us to the Father's house in heaven, where we shall reside and dwell with him forever. Let me ask you a question in closing. Are you going there? Is he your shepherd? Has he died for you? Are you washed in his blood? Are your sins forgiven? Because if you're not, the Lord is not leading you. You are not on the way to heaven. You will never arrive at the Lord's house, the Father's house on high. But your soul will be lost forever. He leads us to glory. And how gracious he is to bring sinners who were once rebels to him to save their souls and bring us to heaven. How gracious he is. He leadeth me. Every child of God can write those three words over their lives. He leadeth me. He is sovereign over the sheep. He is present with the sheep. And he is gracious to the sheep.